Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks gain as China ramps up stimulus efforts to fight fallout from the coronavirus.
The death toll climbs past 2,000 while new infections point to a possible peak in the outbreak.
Still, the economic impact continues to spread with business in China taking the biggest hit.
Attorney General Barr tells associates he may quit over ongoing Trump tweets. Plus, former Illinois Governor Blagojevich is out of prison after a presidential pardon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Devils shut out in St. Louis. An update on KD. And we'll check in from Yankees spring training.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And global stocks are gaining this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 63, NASDAQ futures up 30, the DAX in Germany is up 0.4%, CAC in Paris up 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 0.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.54%, yield on the 2-year 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2% or 62 cents at $52.67 a barrel. The euro 1.0803 against the dollar. The yen 110.23. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest on the coronavirus outbreak. The death toll has now eclipsed 2,000 while infections climb past 75,000. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Despite the increase, there were some encouraging developments. The National Health Commission says the number of patients discharged yesterday was 1,824. Now, that was more than the number of new cases, 1,749. So that means the number of sick people is dropping. Not rising at a slower pace, but actually dropping. Also, the WHO said the quarantine in China bought the rest of the world several weeks to prepare for the virus. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. China ramping up support for its economy in the face of the outbreak. Jeb Huron is a senior portfolio manager at Aviva Investors.
We're seeing lower interest rates, cuts to the benchmark rate. We're seeing acceleration in local government bond issuance. And they're also doing targeted measures to try and impact the businesses and regions that are most directly impacted by the virus. So we are getting quite a comprehensive policy response to this. And that's obviously what's encouraging markets here.
China is also considering measures to boost its crippled airline industry. Bloomberg News has learned it could use cash infusions and mergers to bail out carriers, though no final decision has been made.
Fewer cases of the virus and fresh hopes for more stimulus helped lift stocks in Asia overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. An index of Chinese shares listed in Hong Kong gained around 1%, while Chinese airline stocks rallied. Elsewhere, the onshore yuan weakened after China's central bank set its daily fixing weaker than 7 to the dollar for the first time in almost 2 months. The Korean won also under pressure, while the Kospi was relatively unchanged amid a spike in coronavirus cases in South Korea, which analysts say could dent consumer sentiment and spending. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 was up 0.9% as the yen weakened. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. U.S. futures and European stocks are gaining today, and that is some analysts warning markets may be too complacent on the virus. Eleanor Crea is a strategist at Saxo Capital Markets.
When it comes to sort of fiscal stimulus, if you're stuck at home or you're quarantined or your factory's still shut, no amount of corporate tax cuts or personal tax cuts are going to be getting you to go out and spend within the economies. So in that sense, it's somewhat complacent how the equity markets are reflecting this sort of state of affairs at the moment. And I really think that sort of when it comes to the data that's going to unfold out over February, Japan Q4 GDP, Apple's warning, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And we're going to see this ongoing downgrade to forecasts and to growth and to earnings coming through.
And we're seeing gold catch a bid for the second day, trading near the highest level in 7 years. Right now, spot gold is up about 0.5%. It's at $1,608.84 an ounce.
In the meantime, the economic fallout from the outbreak continues to spread. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live now with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. A growing number of China's private companies have cut wages, delayed paychecks, or stopped paying staff completely. Refineries in the mainland are cutting back production, now processing 25% less oil than they were last year. Taiwan is extending the suspension of group tours to Hong Kong and Macau through April. And Russia is now banning Chinese citizens from entering the country. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we get inflation data from the government at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict the producer price index rose just 0.1% in January. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie D'Agostino.
The Federal Reserve has been working to nudge inflation closer to its target. In December, the PPI rose 0.2% after declining in November. But Bloomberg Economics says rising wholesale prices could be short-lived. The reasons? The strengthening dollar and a drop in oil and other commodity prices. They could limit near-term price pressures. Last week, the government reported January's consumer price index posted the smallest increase in September. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Turning to politics now, it's another big night for Democratic presidential candidates. Six contenders take the stage in Las Vegas for the first debate that includes Michael Bloomberg. Leslie Vinge-Murray covers U.S. politics for Chatham House.
Michael Bloomberg's entry into this debate is significant. People haven't been watching him debate. They don't really know exactly what he's going to say, and they haven't seen him next to the alternatives. This is, I think, going to be a very significant moment.
Heading into the debate, the latest NBC Wall Street Journal national poll shows Bernie Sanders leading the pack with 27% support. Joe Biden comes in at 15%, with Michael Bloomberg and Elizabeth Warren at 14%. Pete Buttigieg is at 13%, while Amy Klobuchar trails the field at 7%. And we should note that Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio.
And futures are higher this morning, with S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 64, NASDAQ futures up 30, and the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.54%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to get a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr has told associates he might resign in response to comments and tweets by President Donald Trump about Justice Department investigations, according to a person familiar with the matter. Barr has been discussing his frustration that Trump continues to wade into the department's business after issuing a rare public rebuke of Trump last week. Barr said the president's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is back at home after his release from prison as part of presidential pardons and clemencies. Blagojevich had been behind bars for 8 years after he was convicted of trying to sell an appointment to President Obama's former Senate seat. Blagojevich maintained he is not politically corrupt.
I'm going to fight against corrupt criminal justice. I'm going to fight against the corrupt criminal justice system that all too often persecutes and prosecutes people who did nothing wrong.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says she has compassion for Blagojevich's family, but there are other families dealing with the hardship of incarceration.
What we, I think, expect under our judicial system and our justice system is that people who have committed crimes accept responsibility.
Also part of the pardons and clemencies, billionaire Michael Milken and former New York Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik. The role that President Trump has taken just ahead of sentencing for his longtime confidant, Roger Stone, is fueling speculation he might soon be issuing another pardon. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The president made it defiantly clear he'll ultimately say and do whatever he wants, leaving the window wide open yesterday to pardoning Stone if it has to come to that.
I haven't given it any thought. In the meantime, he's going through a process, but I think he's been treated very unfairly.
The judge in the case, having refused his last-minute request to delay sentencing, Stone is set to learn his fate tomorrow if Trump doesn't intervene in the meantime. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ahead of tonight's debate in Nevada, Bernie Sanders has moved now to a commanding lead in California with 32% among likely Democratic voters in the critical Super Tuesday state. According to a poll released by the Public Policy Institute of California, Joe Biden is second with 14%, Elizabeth Warren is 13%, Michael Bloomberg and Pete Buttigieg are tied at 12%. A spokesman for Bloomberg's campaign says that if elected president, Bloomberg would sell his financial data and media company. We should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's almost 5:10 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Devils took their show on the road against the best team in the West, the reigning champs, St. Louis Blues.
The Blues with play. He comes back in the zone for Barbashev. Back to play to Barbashev. Shoots. He scores! Barbashev! His second tonight!
Fox Sports Midwest, all St. Louis in this one, 3-0. Defense was superb for St. Louis as New Jersey managed just 17 shots for an already stellar netminder, Jordan Binnington, who picked up another shutout. New Jersey falls to 5 games below 500 in last place in the Metro Division. Tonight, the Rangers visit Chicago at 8, while the Islanders drop the puck in Colorado at 10. NBA, it's the final day of the All-Star break. Play resumes Thursday with Brooklyn visiting Philadelphia. The long road to recovery continues for Nets star Kevin Durant. Nets fans in an Instagram video posted, KD looked good, knocking down 9 of 10 three-point shots consecutively during practice drills. No time given for his return yet. College hoops, Big East action, 15th-ranked Creighton beat number 19 Marquette on the road, 73-65. And Yankees spring training update. Everyone's in camp, including Aaron Judge, who continues to recover from an injured shoulder. Skipper Aaron Boone on his progress.
We've kind of been, you know, treating him and kind of want to make sure we treat it conservatively and get him in a really good spot before we hit the ground running with him. Feel like it's a pretty minor thing and probably in the next couple days start ramping him back up from a volume of things.
Judge had plenty to say, though, to reporters regarding the Astros sign-stealing scandal, commenting the World Series was tainted and they didn't deserve it. We'll hear from Judge later in sports. Grapefruit League games begin on Saturday. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. S&P futures higher by 7 points right now. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 32 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are rising along with U.S. stock index futures after signs China may be planning further measures to support parts of its economy reeling from a virus-induced slowdown. The yen is weakening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.54%. The yield on the 2-year 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 75 cents at $52.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $9.10 at $16.1270 an ounce. The euro, 1.0804 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2987. And the yen is at 110.25. Today we are looking for reports on housing starts and building permits, as well as the producer price index out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 2, we get the minutes from the Federal Reserve's January meeting. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Attorney General William Barr is said to have told people close to him he's considering quitting his post after President Trump wouldn't stop tweeting about Justice Department cases. Last week, Barr said Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has moved out to a commanding lead in California with 32% support among likely Democratic voters in the critical Super Tuesday state, according to a poll released by the Public Policy Institute of California. Sanders also has a commanding lead in a national NBC Wall Street Journal poll. The coronavirus continues to spread around the globe. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
Michael, China's death toll from the outbreak went past 2,000. Hong Kong had a second fatality. mortality from the coronavirus. The number of people infected worldwide has exceeded 75,000. A growing number of China's private companies have also cut wages, delayed paychecks, or stopped paying staff completely, saying the economic toll of the coronavirus has left them unable to cover their labor costs. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you, sir. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just before 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we head toward tonight's ninth Democratic presidential debate, pleased to be joined this morning by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Always good talking with you, particularly the morning after a debate that is going to be arguably a lot different this time around, with the presence of a new candidate who has started to loom much larger in this race just on advertising spending. Now, Michael Bloomberg is joining the debate. What is your expectation ahead of that?
Well, good morning, Nathan. I think that obviously Bloomberg is going to be a piñata. I think everyone will attack him on stop and frisk, on his flip-flop on Wall Street. There'll be a lot of juicy material. I'm sure they'll also talk about Social Security and Bloomberg's floating of the idea of maybe making some reforms there. So it could be a difficult night for him.
What is the vulnerability for Bloomberg participating in this debate, given that he's not officially a candidate in the caucuses that are coming up this weekend in Nevada?
Well, I think the key may be the sound bites that are played on TV and radio in the next couple of days after the debate. If he's defensive, if he seems to be having a hard time explaining his positions, I think it might not help him. But he had to do this. He couldn't abdicate. He had to get involved in the debates. And to look at the big picture, to look at the forest rather than the trees, he's had a remarkable surge in the last couple of weeks. I still think Sanders is the front runner, but Bloomberg is catching up fast.
How difficult is it going to be for some of those other candidates to break through tonight, given the amount of money that Bloomberg brings to this race and some of the erosion that we're starting to see in the polling for the likes of Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg?
Important point. I think that tonight is crucial for Buttigieg, maybe Klobuchar, and obviously Joe Biden, to do well. I think they're slipping. I think their momentum is shot. So you have to ask the question, who leaves next? I don't think anyone will until after the March 3rd super primaries, but this is getting to be a do or die for some of the second tier.
It's interesting. We heard from the Bloomberg campaign yesterday already saying this race has narrowed down to a two-person contest between Michael Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders. Is that how this race should be seen at this point, or is it too early to say that?
It could happen, but I think it's a little premature. You know, the big risk for the Democrats, in my opinion, is that Bernie is denied the nomination in Milwaukee at the conference, at the convention. I do think Bernie will go to Milwaukee with a plurality of delegates. If he's denied the nomination, I think a lot of his supporters might just stay at home in November.
And a lot of it comes down, I would imagine you're implying there, to superdelegates at the July convention. Are they a wild card here?
A wild card, but not quite as big, Nathan, as previous years. They've diminished the numbers. I think it's like 10% or 12%. But in a really close vote, yeah, they could make a difference starting on the second ballot. And we could have a divided, brokered convention. And there's only one real winner if there's a brokered convention, and that's Donald Trump.
Our last minute here, we spoke with former Nevada Senator Harry Reid, who obviously still has a big voice in the Silver State, and he's urging candidates who don't like what Bernie Sanders is doing to speak up. At this point in the race, are other Democrats missing an opportunity holding their fire on Sanders, or does that risk turning off the support he has among his base?
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? And I think, though, that the train is starting to leave the station. If the Democrats don't get really specific in criticism of Bernie Sanders and his policies, it may be too late in the next week or two. March 3rd is enormous, and if Bernie wins California, and as you just reported, there's a new poll out showing him well ahead in California, that would be perhaps a pivotal victory for him.
And we should mention that Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Greg Valliere, good talking with you this morning. Greg Valliere is chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Again, the ninth Democratic presidential debate from Bally's Las Vegas begins at 9 p.m. Wall Street time tonight. We will have full coverage ahead of it and analysis post-debate tomorrow. Stay with Bloomberg Radio for all the latest on the Democratic race. S&P futures are higher by almost 8 points right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are climbing as the number of new coronavirus infections in China continues to slow. We get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The infection rate, the additional numbers continue to slow, but the death rate is, of course, higher. The numbers out of Hubei province, the epicenter, of course, for the coronavirus, just under 1,700 additional infections. Again, that was a slower number than yesterday. So that trend does continue. That will be seen as positive from health officials here in Beijing and here in China, as well as the World Health Organization. They have said that these very aggressive quarantine measures put in place in Hubei have gone a long way to slowing the spread of the virus. They say it may have given other countries a 2 to 3 week head start to be prepared for this virus.
Still, the death toll from the outbreak has climbed past 2,000 while infections eclipse 75,000 and the economic fallout continues to spread. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live now with the latest on that. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. A growing number of China's private companies have cut wages, delayed paychecks, or stopped paying staff completely. Chinese refineries are cutting production even further and are now processing 25% less oil than they were last year. And sources say China is considering measures such as direct cash infusions and mergers to bail out their airline industry. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Now some corporate stories we're following. Shares of Groupon are down more than 16% in the pre-market. That's after earnings missed estimates, and the company announced plans to stop selling goods.
Shares of Blue Apron fell 13% in late trading. The meal kit company says it's considering strategic options to rekindle business. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Those alternatives include a business combination, a capital raise, sale of the company or assets, or some combination. The company says it will close its Arlington, Texas facility and consolidate volume into its New Jersey and California facilities. Blue Apron reported a loss per share for the fourth quarter that was wider than the average analyst estimate. So far this year, Blue Apron shares are down 33%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.54%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.33% or 69 cents at $52.74 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr is considering resigning if President Trump continues to tweet about Justice Department investigations. Last week, Barr said that the president's tweets make his job impossible. President Trump briefly spoke to reporters about the AG.
I do make his job harder. I do agree with that. I think that's true. He's a very straight shooter. We have a great attorney general, and he's working very hard. And he's working against a lot of people that don't want to see good things happen, in my opinion.
The news comes as a federal judge prepares to sentence longtime Trump advisor Roger Stone. Yesterday, a judge denied Stone's request to delay sentencing for lying to Congress and witness tampering. One of the biggest on President Trump's clemency and pardon list was Rob Blagojevich. He's no longer in prison. Speaking last night, the former Illinois governor maintains that he was wrongfully convicted.
I've been blessed to live the American dream. My mother and father were working people. My dad was an immigrant who came from this country from a communist place. He didn't want to be there. He spent 4 years in a Nazi prisoner of war camp. He believed in freedom. He taught me to believe in it.
Trump cut short Blagojevich's 14-year prison sentence for political corruption. Bernie Sanders has taken a commanding lead over the rest of the Democratic field, as Joe Biden has fallen into a tie for distant second place, according to a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Sanders leads the pack with 27% of Democratic primary voters. Biden's support is down to 15% in the national poll. Michael Bloomberg and Elizabeth Warren are at 14%. In another poll, Sanders has moved out to a commanding lead in California with 32% support among likely Democratic voters in the critical Super Tuesday state, according to the Public Policy Institute of California. Meanwhile, Senator Warren says she's ready to take on Mike Bloomberg. Warren in a tweet stated it's a shame Mike Bloomberg can buy his way into the debate. The debate takes place tonight among the candidates. We should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg spoke at a Las Vegas town hall and took issue with President Trump questioning his marriage to his husband.
One thing about my marriage is it's never involved me having to send hush money to a porn star after cheating on my spouse with him or her. So they want to debate family values? Let's debate family values. I'm ready.
The Nevada caucuses take place this Saturday. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Devils saw far too much offense from the reigning champs, the Blues, on the road, falling 3-0 in the Gateway City. Despite the loss, Devils center Nico Hischier says there was nothing to it for St. Louis.
If you look at their game, they kept it simple. That's how they create most of their offense. They bring the puck deep in the D zone. They just kept us on the outside, so it wasn't really something special. They just did it smart.
Devils tested Blues goalie Jordan Binnington just 17 times and remain in the cellar of the Metro Division. Rangers, they skate in Chicago at 5. The Islanders visit the Avalanche at 10 o'clock. NBA starts its second half on Thursday. The Nets visit the Sixers. Good sign for Nets fans. An Instagram video of Kevin Durant showed the All-Star knocking down 9 of 10 three-point shots from all over the floor and driving to the basket looking like his old self. We look forward to seeing KD on the court soon. College basketball. Big East play. Number 15, Creighton down 19th-ranked Marquette, 73-65, thanks to 22 points from Tyshawn Alexander. Yankees spring training update. Aaron Judge spoke to reporters for the first time this spring about the Astros' infamous sign-stealing scandal. He didn't hold back.
Yeah, I just don't think it holds any value. You cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned or, you know, it's not earned.
Judge continues to recover from a shoulder injury. Games begin for the Mets and Yankees on Saturday. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on the coronavirus stressing China's fragile financial system. Also in this week's issue, why Vanguard is dipping its toe into private equity. Annie Massa wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
If you're Vanguard, you see that there's so much more focus on private markets. Recently, fewer companies are going public now, and you can frankly earn higher fees in that area.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now, online at businessweek.com, and terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go.
show. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, teams of Goldman Sachs advisors overseeing $10 billion in assets are leaving for rival companies. Sources tell Bloomberg a group headed by Dennis Cleary and Gregory Devine with $6 billion in assets under management is moving to UBS. Brian Zaraki and Joe Wadica, who helped manage about $4 billion, are headed for First Republic. Citibike today rolls out a new line of e-bikes designed just for New York City. Daily News says the move comes 10 months after its entire electric fleet of two-wheelers was pulled from service after a braking problem catapulted several riders over their handlebars and sent them to the hospital. The value of Ocean County, New Jersey's taxable real estate is expected to reach an all-time high of $110 billion next year. That beats the previous record of $109.9 billion in 2009. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Chinese refineries are throttling back production to cope with weak demand.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from Hyatt Hotels.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government's new plans for a points-based immigration system.
I'm Steve Podolsky on 1010 Winds in New York. We're reporting on Bed Bath & Beyond's plans to declutter its stores.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford's new COO is getting a raise worth almost $2 million.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Also watching shares of Tesla getting a lift in the pre-market with analyst Piper Sandler raising their price target on the stock above $900. They say Tesla's potential success in energy generation and storage will be the next big thing for the electric vehicle maker. Right now, Tesla shares are higher by more than 7%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport, Land Rover above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe rising along with U.S. stock index futures after signs China may be planning further measures to support parts of its economy reeling from a virus-induced slowdown. The yen is weakening, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.54%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% or 68 cents at $52.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10 to $16.13.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0802 against the dollar. British pound 1.2986. And the yen is at 110.32. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General William Barr has told people close to him he's considering quitting his post after President Trump wouldn't heed his warning to stop tweeting about Justice Department cases. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. Barr's spokeswoman says the AG has no plans to resign. The Democratic presidential candidates will debate tonight in Nevada. It comes as two new polls show Bernie Sanders with a commanding lead. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll shows the Vermont senator with 27%. Meanwhile, a poll by the Public Policy Institute of California shows Sanders with 32% support among likely Democratic voters in the critical Super Tuesday state. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Hong Kong had a second fatality from the coronavirus, while China's death toll for the outbreak has exceeded 2,000. Right now, let's get the update from Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat. He joins us live now from Hong Kong. Rish, are any signs the spread of coronavirus is slowing at this point?
John, I mean, what we can say is the number of new infections seems to be going down compared to what we had last week. But whether that is a permanent trend, the jury's out on that one, naturally. The number of people infected worldwide now beyond 75,000. And there's also the World Health Organization, the WHO, suggesting that China's strict quarantine perhaps bought the rest of the world a bit of time and perhaps bought the world several weeks to prepare for this virus here as well. So perhaps there is some light here coming through right now. We've also had that boat, of course, the Westerdam. We had people released from that, and they've all tested negative for the virus. And Japan, despite a lot of criticism, began releasing passengers from a quarantined cruise liner. So that's where we are currently, John.
And we should also point out that China's actually changed the way it assesses the virus and counts it, too, right?
Absolutely. It's being done by two different methodologies now. Hence, last week, when we saw that massive 15,000 count go up in Hubei province as a result of that. And also, they're going around houses in the city of Wuhan, which is the epicenter of this pathogen, and finding people who'd actually been buying cough syrup and fever-alleviating drugs and testing them as well. So it's an all-out effort, really, John.
Do we have a better handle, Rish, on the economic impact?
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, we had Adidas and Puma, these are two German sports retailers, coming out and saying that this virus has pummeled their demand in China. We've also got Chinese refineries deepening run cuts here as well, throttling back production to cope with the weak demand out there, or should I say, because of the weak demand out there. There's also a lack of workers out to do the job due to fears about the virus. The trouble is, John, that fear begets fear. And that becomes a massive problem. This is also something that the U.S. is looking at as well. We've got S&P 500 companies. We had a gauge of that rushing to assess the impact on their business. And our Bloomberg Economics reviewing all mentions of the coronavirus for S&P 500 listed firms at a total more than 150, with a combined market cap, I believe, if my figure's right, $9 trillion, and found that 56% of them said it was too early. 36% it said would have an effect, but actually only 5% anticipate a severe blow here. But it's really the harsh reality on the ground here that perhaps may point to a different conclusion. We don't really know quite what's going on out there. Transparency has always been a problem, and it's been getting even worse as we've had the great firewall of China recently becoming higher and perhaps even thicker as people have little or no access to VPNs or virtual private networks.
Yeah, we've even seen some economists ratchet down their GDP growth forecast for China to, well, flat. Are there signs China is ratcheting up measures to support its economy? Because that's certainly important for investors this morning.
This is it, isn't it? I mean, what do they do with regards to it? We've seen what the PBOC has been up to. They've been coming in, performing open market operations. Is it enough? That's going to be the question here as well. And let me just give you the example of what's been going on in the aviation industry in particular here, John. We're looking at this amazing statistic which came out, and I believe it was about 24 hours ago, that with the amount of capacity cuts taking place by foreign carriers into China, it could be as much as 80%. Then on top of that, we've got domestic carriers in the last 4 weeks canceling something like 10.4 million passenger seats. What it means is now the capacity of the Chinese aviation industry, which was the third biggest in the world, is now the 25th behind that of Portugal. Uh-huh. So they are considering measures such as direct cash infusions, okay, mergers in order to bail out this industry. I'm looking at this in particular because it could be a leitmotif for what happens in the broader sense here, right, as well. But that's where we are with that. I think it's all out Xi Jinping coming out and saying that they need to get people back to work, and that is going to be the challenge.
All right, Bloomberg's Rishan Salamat from Hong Kong this morning. Thanks very much. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Samsung is facing a federal lawsuit charging patent infringement in technology that's used to enhance television displays. The suit says Samsung's QLED TVs infringe 5 patents from Nanico Technologies. Royal Caribbean Cruises is facing a negligence suit in the drowning death of a passenger who died while on a shore excursion. The woman drowned in 10 feet of water with only foam noodles as a flotation device. And a Maryland nonprofit organization is suing LeBron James's Uninterrupted Company for trademark infringement.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal development we're watching. Roger Stone's sentencing for lying to Congress and witness tampering will proceed as planned tomorrow. That's despite his last-ditch request for a delay. Attorney General William Barr has come under intense criticism since overruling prosecutors last week to reduce the recommended time that Stone should serve. For more on the situation, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Kramer, who's managing director of the Berkeley Research Group.
Federal Judge Amy Berman Jackson said there's been a lot of work that's gone into the sentencing. It makes sense to proceed on Thursday. Does that give you any indication that she's not going to be swayed by any of the commentary?
Yeah, I think that's safe. You know, she could have, I mean, it's a distraction. She could have really called the AG in on the carpet and DOJ because they went from 7 to 9 years basically to saying, judge, do whatever you like. We've got no position. It's a huge sea change. And, you know, she could have really called them in as an equal branch of government, but is basically going to ignore that and is just going to sentence the defendant probably as she was going to do before because it's only a recommendation by the government.
So, Jeff, last week the judge rejected Stone's request for a new trial based on bias of one of the jurors who worked for the IRS. But Stone's lawyers have submitted another request for a new trial based on bias of the jury foreperson. How does a judge determine whether there is bias?
Well, you mean you can look at biases to a person's actions, and some of that the defense lawyers knew. I mean, they knew this foreperson, and she's come out, ran for Congress as a Democrat and maybe said some anti-Trump things. So they did know some of that. If there were other things out there that they didn't know, but that the foreperson misled them or lied on the questionnaire or her answers, that's a valid argument to make to get a new trial. It's still a long shot, but if that's the case, then there is an argument there. It really is up to the judge's discretion. And even if the district court judge denies it, you now have a pretty good appellate argument because there's nothing more basic in a jury trial than to make sure the jury can be fair and impartial. And if a juror, again, we're just using a hypothetical here, but if a juror lied in order to get on that jury and the lie pertained to a bias against someone related to the defendant. In other words, it wasn't a bias against Stone. That's important to keep in mind. It's a bias against Trump. Now, Stone has a connection to Trump, so who knows if that would be transferable. So it's definitely not a slam dunk argument. A slam dunk argument would be if this person had a bias against the actual defendant and then lied about it. That's not the case here. But obviously, as we know, the connection between Trump and Stone is very tight. So, you know, it's a district court argument. If it's denied, it's certainly an appellate court argument, and it can keep him out of jail during the pendency of that appeal.
And that's Berkeley Research Group Managing Director Jeffrey Kramer speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 33. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.